A very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. It's Christ the King Sunday today, and it is cold. Winter has finally come to us here in Ireland, so I hope you're keeping warm wherever you are. On the program this week, we talk about Carlo Acutis, Gráinne will have the news from around the diocese, and we talk about the Life in the Spirit seminars happening in Kenmare. But first, Bishop Ray Brown, welcome to Horizons.
Good morning, David, and good morning to all tuned in to Horizons this Sunday morning. You know, it's lovely. So often on Sundays, someone says to me, I heard you this morning. And it's a lovely thing. Maybe just as we move through November, just a final thought, remembering the dead and remembering those who mourn. You know, there's been some sad deaths in recent times, accidents, parent of young children, others too. Lord have mercy on them all. You know, and maybe towards the end of November, just a special thought regarding those who mourn. It's amazing that people do find grief very, very difficult. Even the grieving of a very elderly parent. You know, grief is still very strong in people. Hopefully they get through real hope from trusting that they've gone to God. Trusting that, as someone said, they haven't gone away, they've just gone ahead of us. But just for ourselves to, you know, to be with those who mourn. To walk with them a little bit along the road. To sit with them. Often it's just a question of listening, and maybe often much isn't said, but just allow them to say as little or as much as they want, and just to encourage and to assure them, just a warm presence. But as I say, at the end of November, coming towards the end, eternal rest to all who have died. We trust that through God's goodness, God's mercy, that heaven is their destiny.
So Bishop, today is Christ the King Sunday. So it's an important day, and I have a little poem I'll play later in the show. But could you tell me a bit about that, please?
Possibly the best thing to say is that it's the last Sunday in the church's year. Next Sunday begins Advent. So it's just that coming together, a focus on Jesus overall, Jesus Christ, universal King. So it's a celebration of our faith. And maybe just to remind ourselves that a few years ago, Pope Francis asked that last Sunday each year be World Day of the Poor. You know, and Pope Francis' point was that this day, the Universal King, it's too easy to think of wealth and power and comfort where Christ was different. You know, that song, King of Love on Calvary. Christ was King of the Poor. We remember that he was born in poverty at the stable in Bethlehem. He died in poverty on the cross. So just universal king, but king who has a special love, king for whom everyone matters, especially those who are struggling, those who are poor. So it's a day to rejoice in our God and his love for us, and asking us, he asks of us, what does he ask of us? To love one another. So it's a lovely feast day.
So I understand, Bishop, that the relics of Carlo Acutis have been in Ballyferriter. We were speaking with Father Owen about that, and as we're talking now, they got into the Dominicans' church, Tralee, yesterday, and they'll be there until tomorrow.
Yes, Friday and Saturday, they were in Ballyferriter. And then yesterday evening, they came on and there was an opening mass in the Dominican church, in Holy Cross Church. You know, just to mention, to wish well to Father David McGovern, who's the new community superior, the new leader there in the Dominican church, Father Gregory has moved on and is now part of the Newbridge community, Newbridge County Kildare. So just to wish and say both well, Father Gregory and Father David. So Father David has organised this visit of the relics to the Dominican church. They're here all day today and they're here again tomorrow. And I think there's a special link tomorrow to confirmation classes in primary school and to the secondary school, probably particularly the transition year. It's a remarkable story, Carlo Acutis. He was born in May 1991. He died in October 2006. So he lived just to be 15. He died of leukemia, but a very short sickness, maybe just, I think, just less than 2 weeks. And in fact, for the first few days, the thought was, it's just a bad cold. So it's a remarkable life. He was born in London of Italian parents. They were quite well off. They had a good business. And in his first year, the family moved back to Milan. Carlo was always attracted to the faith and to religion. I think it began through a Polish childminder he had for a few years as a baby. And by 3 or 4, he wanted to go into a church, light a candle. He wanted to go in and see statues of Our Lady. From the very start, that was. You know, age 7, he wanted to receive communion early. And then age 6, he first had a computer or, you know, a game station, whatever it should be called. But by 9, he got interested in programming. And once he was interested in programming, he got an interest in trying to encourage others in the faith, you know, through emails, through the online. So an amazing person. At the same time, he was a normal teenager. In many ways, a joker, often the one to disrupt the class. Then, sadly, you know, as a 15-year-old, he just felt he had no energy after a sports event. And within 13 days, he had died. You know, and his faith had developed, you know, to the point that knowing he was very, very seriously ill with leukemia, a very serious form of it, he had an acceptance of death right away. I had a sense of going to God, had a sense of eternal life being his destiny.
So Carlo had a very strong faith for someone his age. Mm. And I understand even from quite a young age, he seemed to be determined to become a saint. Mm. Can you tell me a bit about his relationship with God?
Mm. Like his parents actually were, I suppose, non-practicing Catholics. And in fact, it was he that got his mother interested again. And she went on to study theology, I think, to try to understand what was happening in his life. But he himself had a great devotion to Mass and receiving Holy Communion. In his final years, he liked to get Mass daily, if at all possible. Equally, his prayers before and after Communion, and where possible, dropping into church and spending a while there. He just had a great sense of Christ present in the Eucharist. You know, and Christ in the body of life, Christ in the bread of life, being our strength, our guide. He had a natural attraction to Our Lady and the saints, you know, particularly St. Francis, so much so that he was so fond of going to Assisi that when he was 10, his parents actually bought a house in Assisi. And he just loved to spend his summers down there, particular attraction to St. Francis and St. Clare. And Our Lady, he saw Our Lady as mother to us all. He just had a real sense of God's presence. You know, and a final thing to mention, he really wanted to help others. He was well off. He had a lot of pocket money. And many times it went on the poor beggar. He went to help the poor beggar. It went to finance meals at a local place where there was meals for the poor. That he had a great sense of charity. And a great sense of caring for each other. That's what God wanted us all to do. So he just had a very rounded faith.
So, Bishop, how do you feel this kind of reflects on Ireland and the faith we see in the youth of today?
You know, I think maybe it challenges us to have hope for the handing on of the faith to youth in Ireland. You know, we're aware that we're struggling. And yet, Carlo Acutis says that children can have a real relationship, a real closeness to God. You know, and just how many other saints were young. We had St. Bernadette's relics lately. She was just 14 too, at that huge important part of her life. And of course, we think of Fatima. It was 3 children, I think probably all under 12. And I remember 2 of them died within a year or two, Jacinta and Francisco. So just that faith is for young people, and young people can have a real sense of God, a real sense of creation and the Creator, and a real sense of Jesus' love for us all. When we think of reality, is that the mass attendance of young people is very, very low. You know, that how many do we see of national children between age of 4 and 12? It's small numbers. You know, and you almost sense that teenagers around 14 lose their confidence in God, lose our confidence that we can know the mystery, that the reality behind it, that it's real, that there is a God, there is a creator, a total mystery to us, but he has revealed himself to us in Jesus. People can lose their sense of that. So it's things like that. You know, a third thing, the home is the place of prayer. The home is the place of hearing about God, learning the prayers and having a sense of what they're saying. If honouring Carlocutus and if this can give us a confidence that we can rebuild that, that people hear of God in the home and say, for Carlocutus, it looks like it was through a babysitter and she bring him out for a walk and including the church in the walk. That's what happened. So I think overall, you know, that if we can have a fresh sense that we can hang down the faith of young people, that they're the stronger for it, and that through the teenage years, people can have a confidence in the faith. Remember, our faith is 2,000 years old. Also, our faith was 1,500 years coming together, the salvation history from back to where, back to Abraham, back to Moses, back to David, back to the prophets, 1,500 years preparing the way for Christ. So I think just that let Carlocutus and remembering so many saints who are young, let it remind us that we can have strong faith. And two, isn't it a reality that, you know, in our world today, so many people are just not quite content. You know, they're at odds with life, they're just not motivated. You know, they say that's in teenagers, they say it's in adults. You know, so many need counselling. Also, so many are on medication to keep them strong. As if, for many, the joy has gone out of life. You know, maybe the joy is to be found in Jesus. Maybe the joy is to be found in Jesus saying, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you.
That's very interesting that Carlo's babysitter sort of got him into the faith, because I think it's difficult for children to develop interests out of nowhere in a vacuum, and that there's lots of children these days who sort of get their hobbies from their parents or guardians or the football club that they support. It's all just kind of inherited. So there's a role there for parents and guardians to sort of pass on the faith to the next generation. Mm. So we're coming up on the season of Advent and Christmas, Bishop. Do you have anything to say to people for that period?
Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Remember, we have three full Sundays of Advent, three full weeks of Advent. And then after the fourth Sunday, the 3 days lead up to Christmas. So just say, what is Christmas for us? What matters? In continuity with what we've just been saying, that, you know, is Christmas really about our inner lives, our hearts and souls, our search for peace and contentment, for inner joy, for the joy of living? The newborn baby Jesus proclaims, God who loves us is with us always. God who loves us asks us to remain in his love and to love one another. So is Christmas really, you know, an inner celebration about our inner lives? And do we need to change the balance between the externals and often the excess of the externals? You know, and to bring it back to saying that I believe in God. I believe that Jesus, incredibly, was the creator come among us, sent by the Father, and is with us always. You know, and for any of us, when we're struggling, when we're going through a bad patch, we believe we're not on our own, that God is with us, that God will help us, God will sustain us. And maybe especially for people who don't feel well this day, people who are struggling at this time, may this Christmas give them a confidence and a joy in their hearts, a confidence and a joy from believing in God. And just to encourage people, come to Mass each Sunday. Let that be part of your preparation for Christmas. You know, and as I said, let's focus on our inner lives, our inner journey, and that God is with us and God will be our strength and God will be our joy.
Thank you very much for coming on this morning, Bishop Ray.
So every blessing on all tuned in and every blessing for all for the weeks of Advent that are ahead. And when we're down, let us trust that Christ our King is with us, our strength, our joy. He loves us truly.
After the break, Christ the King.